This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Cultural civilization. They do not know what we are capable of. They do not know what we are thinking. Because my work has only just begun.
Up you mighty people, feel it down in your soul, till you can't control it. Put your hand up to the sky, mama, don't ask why. In these dark and lonely times, we go turn the tide. If you're looking for a sign, turn and look inside of you. Your body is a temple, your sweat is holy water. Every move you're making is prayer.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday the 3rd of May and you are on the clock with Erin Green on this Man Down Mashup Wednesday. We're on the clock in Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry joined forces to talk about what's in the news and dissect the latest issues. But of course, it's one day away from my birthday. So we are going to be continuing our week of giveaways, and we are giving away copies of Lutzka and other fantastic tales by Patricia Glinton McCullis. Tomorrow, we're going to add some goodies from local vendors into the giveaway pile. I was a participant in this weekend's BAIC Taste and Tell, a producers festival, right? And that's for the people who add value to local produce. And it was a great event. Maybe we're going to talk about that. Maybe we talk about that a bit this morning. Hey, Newry. Mr. Newry was there as well. And I was teaching him a thing or two. You know, I got cousin. The king is my cousin. I got some reindeer herding people, you know, the Sani people. They look like my cousins from Long Island. And so I was teaching Yuri how to sell ice to Eskimos. We was doing the thing. And even our guest today, Mr. Ian Munnings, was there. And so maybe that's what we talk a bit about today. That may be a good talk. There's lots in the news. There's sad news. Al Dillard, Consul General to Toronto, dies at 68. This is in the Guardian at the bottom fold of the front page. He died at his official residence in Toronto on Monday evening. His longtime friend, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Fred Mitchell, announced yesterday. Dillard, whose full name was Albert King Dillard, was 68. Mitchell informed that the Consul General was discovered by the consulate staff when he could not be reached yesterday morning. The emergency services with the consulate staff entered the premises and discovered that he had passed away. It appears that he died from natural causes. And we want to say condolences to family and friends, Mr. Al Dillard, and we want to say thank you for lending him to us, for he was in the government service, you know, dedicated to country. Dedicated to the Bahamian people. And it's an unfortunate affair. There's some other news in the paper today, but I want to let's get rolling with the giveaways, right? Let's get rolling with the giveaways. So I want to play, gentlemen, this morning I want to play the How Bahamian Are You game show, Jubilee Edition. Jubilee Edition. Remember, guys, the 5th of, I don't know if you all remember in yesterday's paper. Oh, in fact, you got it right there. Let me open this up and flip it. Open. If you guys pick up today's Guardian, you got to pick up today's Guardian. In the back of the main page is a full spread ad, Jubilee Day, a road to 50 production. This Friday, May 5th, venue, Southern Recreation Grounds and adjacent lot. The show starts at 7 p.m. The audience should be seated by 6:30 p.m. And there is a cultural village from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. A cultural village from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the entry is free. The entry is free. You could go and pick up tickets at the secretariat office. I have a small notice somewhere to tell you where the office is. But I think the most important thing is...
Monique Guidance.
Right, the office there.
The office of the Governor General.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. That's not the most important part. It's free.
Free is always good.
Yeah, don't mind, you go pick up a ticket.
That means
it could be crowded.
Yes.
Right, but here's what to do. Come with your chair. And if you like a business person, in fact, see, this is how you make things work in the Bahamas. You use a business person, small business person, you do party rentals, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do party rentals. What I doing is... I put in every single chair I have available in the back of my truck, and I pull it up out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go to the organizers, and I'm going to say, look here, let's work out a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, like, give you these chairs for 50 cents a piece, two for a dollar, mm-hmm. to use tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stick my card on it. You got to let me put my card on it. And you got to let me talk to people and try sell a little bit of my business out here while we got the people. Because you got the people, and I got the chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's work together.
Yeah, it's possible. That's doable.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hustling spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the hustling spirit we miss in this town. I always say I don't like to see young men on the road with slippers. You wearing basketball clothes and slippers. You don't have a basketball in your hand. You ain't been on a court to play ball in 7 years. Reason that's a problem is you're not ready for the ride. You're not ready for the boy to stop in his truck and say, look here, I need 5 strong men right now. Let's go. See, that's a part of why the Haitian migrant population is dominating in the workforce, because they ready. The boy say, look here, I can leave my house at 4:30 in the morning, so when the boss ready to leave his yard at 6 a.m., I in the truck catching my last half hour of sleep.
Mm.
I ain't getting left behind. I can be at that job. So I say to young men, look here, y'all like that slipper life? Y'all also always have a backpack with nothing in it.
Mm.
You should have your work shoes in your backpack at all times. You just never know.
So you're talking culture and how to teach this culture to have young Bohemian men prepared always.
Yeah, always. I like to tell the story. I tell you what, Family Island Determination. I liked when we created a new a portfolio in the Ministry of Agriculture, Family Island Affairs. I think it eventually needs to become a standalone ministry. Why? Because Family Island Determination has driven this country forward, right? Far the steam, far greater than government political will, Family Island Determination. I got a neighbor. This boy started his company, which may be the premier, if not in the top three, the premier crane company in the country. The journey started one day when he got a call from his cousin to say, I need help. We got a big job. And he'd turn and look at all of us and say, hold down the fort. I'm coming right back. And that's the moment his career started, right? Because he's prepared. Family Island boy. He look at us, we was having fun. He was having a good time. He look at us, I gotta go.
How accessible are work boots? Are they pricey, expensive?
Very.
They are?
Very.
Yeah.
So perhaps that is something that we, as persons who are trying to empower young Bohemians, can provide.
Right.
Give them access to, say, hey, I get it for $70 instead of $200.
Right. So if you could prove you got your job letter, say I'm starting on the job, first job, you could get a discount at particular vendors,
mm.
right? Or the construction association,
mm-hmm.
And maybe the union, various unions of construction workers. Like
mm-hmm.
there must be a union of masons.
Mm-hmm.
You all have a union of masons, right? I don't mean Masons Edition either.
No.
But there should be,
mm-hmm.
because those unions.
Some kind of guild.
Right. First of all, for professional standards,
mm-hmm.
a given. But outside of that, that union should be negotiating with local vendors to provide discounts for members of your union. And you should have an apprenticeship-style program where young people who have a job letter, have an intern letter, can bring that along with the ID and get a reasonable discount on their first set of boots, work belt, uniform. Proper safety uniforms, proper safety equipment to drive that, right? That's in the U.S. right now, unions. I watched this little clip. The gentleman, he's in his 40s. He has left one union job. He's still in the union. He is training. He's getting paid to train to take on another job, all facilitated by the union.
The thing is, Aaron, is that the Bahamas is a small-knitted community. I think we have to go back to the times when Bahamians were more patriotic towards his nation, his country, and his people, preferably going into self-driven things that they only concern about themselves personally. They don't really care about somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like even in businesses that did pretty well or do well, that Bahamians have been supporting over the years, we've seen those particular businesses don't go out their way to do X, Y, and Z for that same particular people that made you from ground zero. So it becomes more of a moral thing in terms of what do you do as a Bahamian and how do you stand forward to do what you want to do.
So how do you teach patriotism?
It's a learned behavior.
It's a learned... I can tell you, because it's called a thing called a culture of voluntarism, right? And I can talk about Methodist experience. You learn it by experiencing it. You have to provide programs for young people to volunteer. You got to provide programs for young people to provide services to other young people like themselves. You got to provide opportunities for intergenerational connection. You know what builds patriotism? There are programs in Europe where elderly people who live alone or at risk of being unhoused, right, and living alone are paired with university students. And they live together, right? And so you're bringing in some young energy, they're bringing in some older, more mature energy, and there's a good balance. Then there are other programs where elder care facilities, they have a mashup like we're doing today with kids, with children's care facilities. So nurseries and geriatric care, a retirement home and preschoolers, first graders. They're interacting on it. So at the after-school program, all the little children go hang out with all the older.
So it's similar to the programs like when persons are leaving grade 12 and they send you in your...
I'm just going to mention that now, that we have a program, but it's not translating to adulthood, though.
Right. And it's
so what's causing it not that we are not volunteering as adults?
Because we're not really volunteering as young people. Those programs are requirements. And unless the program is designed and operated in a different way, it's not just a requirement. This is a culture, right? You're shifting young people into a different culture. It doesn't work. And I think you really do have to get them young. And if you don't get them young, this opportunity, it has to be, I'm going to say, like a spark moment for that 13, 14, 15-year-old, it has to, either it has to be consistent or it really has to have an impact on their life, right? So it means that the people engaged in the program really have to connect with those young people.
Get the buy-in to the project.
Yeah, but they buy in. It's just like on the radio. People get excited about what you're excited about, right? And so we as adults have to bring a level of energy to it, but the authenticity as well. The young people, they can detect when you're not being real.
Fast.
Yeah, and they shut down real quick. And even when it's a gang of them, and it appears as if they're not on your run, you'll find like at an individual level, there's a degree of empathy and sympathy with whoever that adult is who's trying to corral us or get us to think.
We can look at it from different aspects, even as terms of the young entrepreneurs. We have Bahamians in our country that are very successful, that has millions of dollars. And, you know, the entire blame should not be to governments, you know, because governments come and governments go. We as a people, we live here. This is our country. Until we as a people decide to say, you know what, this is our nation, this is our country, we want to see the changes happen. It is going to occur not just by just one set of people, but us all. This is how we grew up as a nation to become the nation that we are today. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're going away from that. Because the successful people in our communities, once they have made it out of those particular areas or the areas that we looked at and saying that they are similar to the ghettos, they really don't look back to say that young entrepreneur, that person, or let's partner with the government. Let us then raise some seed money to give them the empowerment they need. You can't go into the institution called the bank. Yeah. So where are these young entrepreneurs going to get the funding from and properly be and have all the infrastructure
I'll tell you what,
at their hands?
We are, I think one of the greatest indictments, we are spending resources that should be earmarked and used for collective and national development on personal disposable experiences, right? So when you ask, well, where are these young people supposed to get the money from? The money is out there. We have not created systems in which people could access the money. So I want to make this point. We have this, the second biggest indictment is the refusal to transition from charity systems to structural reform. Those young people with the money, right, who don't go back into their communities, don't go back because you see the need, you feel the need, and then you have to cut yourself off because if you start spending money, you'll run out of money before you could even really substantively start creating solutions, right? You'll run out of money. So people tend to move away. But that's because there's only charity available. The only way I could help is if I'm prepared to make a charitable effort. If we gave young people different options to plug into the system, they would do it. If we had systems, if we engaged in structural reform, right? So I'm not putting up my family members forever. Right? Like I got them an apartment, I trying to make money. You telling me, oh, I must be charitable and just let my family members live there. What I'm saying is, listen, I have this duplex or triplex. I am willing to lease it to the government at the lowest rate possible, right? I'm willing to hit mortgage and property tax and 5% over that, maybe max. I'm willing to do that so that it's a part of a larger rental system. It's a part of a larger housing initiative that I know is going to support people. Just sitting there and putting my family in it and there's no return, there's no income to maintain it, I'm going to get tired of that. I'm going to get frustrated with that. But if the government said, look here, I see you have three triplexes. Could you lease two of those triplexes to us at cost?
That's a good idea.
People would be more willing to do that than you just say, well, I need these people to stay here and I don't know when they're coming out.
But look at the thing with the battered women. And we were supposed to be looking at places for them to go. I mean, in terms of there's a person that has a tenplex that is just sitting there, comparably to say, okay, we can use that as a start.
Right. And then how do we attach an income generating mechanism to it? So that the people who are living there are required by the terms of their occupancy agreement to provide a certain amount of hours, right? Whether it's in the garden, whether it's in the processing kitchen, whether it's in the laundry that's attached to the building, you put in hours to support your stay in the facility, right? So you generate an income. So the person who's leasing you the facility knows that you have an income generating mechanism. And when things are good, right? Like when we're solving our problems and there are fewer people in the facility because technically it's a temporary housing thing, right? Then there are jobs available for. So look, Mary is on her feet. This job she has here, supplementing what she's doing out there, means she doesn't have to live here anymore. But she still needs this job here to supplement what she's doing out there, right? Mm-hmm. But if we give young people systems to plug into as opposed to just looking at them and saying, oh, your pocket full, we need some of that money, they would be more inclined to stay, right? They would be more inclined to be patriotic and commit to building. And I think that's what Family Islanders have been able to do.
Tap into that.
Whatever they have been able to convince, not the whole scale, because circumstances demand that people come to New Providence for work. But for many people, they have been able to convince each other to commit to a degree of community development. and invest in structural reform as opposed to be a part of a charity machine.
But Aaron, I'm looking at the Bahamas now in the 21st century. And I'm looking at those family islands, like you said, and mm-hmm. and I'm seeing the acreage of land that is available in those land that government currently owns. I'm saying to the young individuals, and Nassau seems to be saturated with so many persons living in Nassau. Yeah. I think that every Bahamian is supposed to have at least two properties, one in New Providence and one on the family island, which your parents or grandparents come from. I also think that there are tourists that come from far, and they want a different flavor of experience. They're used to the city life, and when you go to those islands, and most persons' first thing will be that it's refreshing. They can sleep later. They can relax. Everything is not a fast pace. The traffic. There are so many different things you can look back and aspects. And the people that are mostly enjoying that are, to be honest with you, expats or foreign persons that are dwelling in this particular realm. I wouldn't particularly say that's because they can afford to, because a family island is based on what you have there, the availability of things that are not currently there. So if you realize that you go to a particular island, there is no pharmacy, there is no tire shop.
You can't build no pharmacy. There's only 200 people living there.
No, you could build a pharmacy.
Who going to pay for it? That means that a jug of water got to be $15.
But it's this is it. First of all, it's an archipelago.
Thank you.
The country is an archipelago. The country is in the Bahamas, and then we have territories.
Right.
Like, we ain't the United States where we just go into Puerto Rico and say, hey, you belong to us now. It ain't like that. And so the government's monumental task is to provide not just equal access, but equitable access.
And this is why such cannot be on every island.
It have to be.
But you notice that we don't have the money, and it's not happening.
No, we have the money.
We have the money.
We have the money?
Yeah, the money is there.
The money is there.
Then we need to fix the potholes here in Nassau.
No, I mean, see, you're doing it again. You're doing it again.
But it's fixable.
No, you're doing it again.
It definitely is fixable.
Oh, man.
I can say that it's fixable.
I think you're all idealists.
I'm thinking that it's fixable.
I think that what you all are trying to say can't happen.
Aaron, this is going to be a master.
You can't be reinventing the same resource on every island.
But I mean, basically, you're going to have to. I'm going to tell you why. Even if you don't want to do it for Bahamians, you got to do it for your tourist product.
We can't do it.
But Aaron, I've gone to refocus. I've went to the family islands, and to be honest with you, they have some long roads. And even with the long roads and limited persons that I'm seeing that is there, the roads are still comparably better than Nassau.
There's no car.
But it's a 21x7. How much road do you think this is?
But how much car you think it is?
Okay, listen, I love this, but I got a caller, and then I even get to the giveaway questions. Now is a good time to transition. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Morning, CA, and good morning, my bestest friend. You know, you guys are touching on a multitude of issues and topics that we, the average Bahamian, often have on a daily basis. You know, as I said on the previous show a couple of days ago, you know, we the people are presenting all of the issues, and you have some of the people actually also presenting the solution to a lot of the issues. But the thing that really baffles us the most is, you know, when you hear the hierarchy or our officials saying that they have to go and get consultation, especially external consultation, to solve some of the things that Bahamians are already aware on how to solve. If we would deal with the low-hanging fruits, then the higher-hanging fruits, we could tackle them once the lower ones have been taken care of. But it seems as if there's nothing actually, and I'm being very succinct here, it seems as if nothing naturally is being resolved in this country at all. You know, you talk about the gravitation of Bahamians from the family islands here into Bahamas, and it seems as if that is the plan. The plan is to force a lot of our citizens of those islands to come here into the capital to work.
And it's not a conspiracy, because we know about urbanization policies where governments pull people to the center because it's more expedient to govern and take care of infrastructural needs if people are close together. Go on.
I agree with you. The second part of that too is, if we would learn with all the gains, when I say gains, I'm talking about the financial gains that this country has made and potentially can make You know, because we can't just mark that off and say that the potentials aren't there. We do have the potentials, but do we have sufficient belief in Bahamians to pull these things off? There are many islanders that came into Nassau and made, or New Providence, and made New Providence the type of mecca that it is in mm-hmm. terms of being the financial capital of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
But what about now spreading that wealth to the other islands to get the other islands up running with financial buoyancy,
yeah.
that we can depopulate Nassau and get our other islands efficiently running in the manner that we expect them to run?
I do agree.
Thank you so much.
I do agree, Aaron, on that. But I think that we should have a national plan. And the national plan will basically be where Bahamians, young Bahamians, old Bahamians, Bahamians that wish to go to the island of their choice, where they're from, they have the opportunity. Because this is thousands of crown land acres, and I don't know how much of that.
They don't have the opportunity now?
No. The access of land, they don't have it. Because when we look at the city of Nassau, and a piece of property and what we consider to be the ghetto is anywhere between 74,000 to 80,000 or 90,000 for 50 by something.
Because what you call ghetto, I call gentrification in waiting.
And that's exactly what it is, Eric. You're calling it exactly for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll close on this one very pivotal point here.
Yes, sir.
You know, we get the government that we vote for.
Yes.
All right? I always think the 38 that sits in our parliament, the lawmakers and the ones who are supposed to be leading this country towards prosperity for all Bahamians, they've failed our people for a very long time. We have socioeconomic. The social aspect has failed, and the economics have definitely failed. When are we going to correct these two aspects and finally bring prosperity to the hands of the average Bahamian so we can live comfortably in this country? Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I think, Aaron, that I think the prosperity perspective of that happens again with us as a people. I think the focus should never be on the government. The government was chosen by the people to, because all of us can't go into parliament. The governments were, your MP was chosen to go there to say whatever plights you have as a people. I think the journey to successfully creating this, what they call a utopic idea, is what we used to do back in the day. If we as the community realized that the community benefits from a particular thing, we did south, we did cookouts, we did things of the nature, and we pooled in resources, we came together and we did it. Because whether a government decides to do it or not, as the people, we live here. This is our home. So what do we say? We're going to say that 34, 31 persons are going to control a populace of about 340,000 plus people? No, I'm thinking that you ought to be able to distinguish the difference between like-minded people and do what needs to be done to the benefits of us as Bahamians on the entire canopy. And that's not just here internally inside the Commonwealth. I'm talking about the Bahamians that have left also the Bahamas, having the opportunity where they have been making monies in foreign places as ambassadors to our nation.
Yeah.
Spending this money back home by going to the family island and deciding to put up an Airbnb,
again,
open up a gas station.
They need to be able to plug into systems, and that's what we rely on the government for, not to give us jobs, but to create an environment in which we can create the jobs we say we want, to create the things we say we need. That's what government's job is. But listen, gentlemen, I'm mad at y'all. I come here to play the How Bahamian Are You game show and talk funnery.
It's a mashup
day. And y'all mashing me up with all this sensible conversation. Producer, play that song I just sent you. And then we're going to start the giveaway, the last 20 minutes of the show. Quick call in. Very quick game. I'm going to give you two choices. You pick a choice and you defend it. And I'm going to set y'all off now with the first one, my favorite one, coat suit or linen suit. Play that song for me, producer. Take us to the break. The numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. If you in the Bahamas but outside of New Providence, 242-300-5720. Producer, let the song play just a second. Remember the first question of the day, coat suit or linen suit, when we get back from the break. But y'all check out this song from Freetown Collective. It's called Space for a Heart.
I was born to be a storm, keep my heart dry while others drown. I tell myself I'll carry on, I'll carry on.
Get ready to celebrate our 50th independence with a golden jubilee. The Road to 50 presents the inaugural Jubilee Day. It's a day to celebrate the Bahamas and the Bahamian people in grand style. We're jumpstarting the Independence Party on Friday, May 5th at the Southern Recreation Grounds. Come and explore the cultural village from 4 to 9 p.m. and take your seats by 6:30 to witness a fantastic cultural show. It's all about the black, gold, and aquamarine. Wear your colors to show your pride. Schools all across the Bahamas will be taking part. This day is made to celebrate you. It's Jubilee Day, Friday, May 5th. For more information, visit CelebrateBahamas.com or go on social media and type in Celebrate Bahamas.
To be a Bahamian. I'm proud to be a Bahamian. I'm proud to be a Bahamian, yes. God gave this land to me.
The 6th edition of the Bahamas Games are on the way. July 7th through the 15th, get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win? It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the B Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, call 809-1242 or visit thebahamasgames.org.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news and smart talk all day. You're on the clock. In the break, my producer asked me if these are Bahamians. Okay, Freetown Collective, they're not Bahamians, but these are perhaps some of the best, I want to say, folk artists in the region right now. And I got to do a little research. I haven't heard Bahamian music like this in a hot minute, right? Pat Ramming is a boy who make music like this. Maz, the musician, I think it's Joaquin. Anyway, Maz and his band used to play at the Hub way back. And then after the Hub, they were playing in places. We got some folk bands out there, you know. We got some people who play a range of music from, like, Caribbean folk to what we call easy listening and indie rock, and it's out there, you know. But there's something special about this group, Freetown Collective. And remember, Freetown Collective collaborated with other regional artists to create the song Normal, which is a regional anthem against child abuse, and so we celebrate them. Okay, gentlemen, let's get back to the game. We don't have any callers yet, so I'm going to throw the question at you. Coat suit or linen suit, gentlemen? Remember, you could win. Not y'all. Y'all already get your copy of the book. But you can win a copy of Lutzke and Other Fantastic Tales by calling in and giving us your position. So it's two positions to choose. All you got to do is give us a semi-sensible answer why you've made your choice. And the first person to defend either side wins a prize. So, gentlemen, coat suit or linen suit?
That's a rhetorical question.
No, it's a question you have to answer. I thought
that was for the callers them to answer.
It is, but they ain't calling, so now I need you to answer it.
I've transitioned out of that linen phase.
Yeah.
That's a youthful thing. And for people who don't like wear clothes, lazy people. So I find that there are people who go to funeral in linen suit, and I look at them odd. He said, man, you ain't got no dress pants.
Man, people's good until
you ain't
get lazy.
No good shirt. It's laziness. It's laziness. Yeah. But you go to the person good funeral, you dress up. You dress up. Don't wear no linen outfit.
Now, I want to put it to you that linen is, see, we were going good there when you said that's young people clothes.
That's casual clothes.
Linen
man.
Is the young man's Standing. Formal suit.
No, it's not, listen, they're trending
formal.
They're trending no linen.
White linen starch, linen up so sharp you could paper cut yourself.
No, they've trended. No. They've been trending it.
They've been trending out. They need to stop.
So they, and then they get the linen in different colors. So yeah, they can
pull up white or black. White or black is normal.
They can pull up in linen in the color of whatever you're being buried in.
That's a bygone era. Those people who still wear linen to weddings and to funerals, they need to stop it. Just stop it. Get yourself a good blazer, you know, and a good slacks, and wear that.
It hot. First of all, it hot.
Wear a short sleeve shirt. But what if they can't afford a suit? What does it cost a suit now?
Well, it costs linen. You should have linen pants.
$50 used to get you a pants and a shirt. Linen. You go in Miami and $25. You spend $50.
$25.
How much it costs to get a linen suit made by the tailor?
That's about
I haven't seen a tailor make a linen suit.
$250?
For $250.
I can buy a suit for that price.
And you can buy your own linen.
And you had to buy your own linen.
You had to buy your own linen.
So that's formal wear.
That's a formal price. That's all a formal price.
So, okay, I got another one for you. Your position with your coat suit or linen suit, yeah?
Linen is more affordable.
You wear linen?
I don't, but it's
no, but where, more affordable.
What do you wear?
Well, I wear a suit.
There you go.
Because that is the time I grew up. I grew up in an era where you're going to church or you're going to function, you ought to be properly attired, and that's the way we grew up. But now the new trending thing was that the linen, it costs about $50, and they can get some shoes matching the white linen and so forth, and, you know, they go to town.
All right. Clarks or tennis?
Oh, that's Clarks. That's the era we were in.
I haven't worn a tennis or purchased a tennis in about, how long have you been out of school? Well, 25 odd years.
What?
What are you doing?
How you exercise?
I exercise. But the wife and I wear the same shoes. So same size shoes. So when she doesn't want to wear it, because it's get dirty and she'd want a new one.
Oh, so you just...
I just assume, yes, I could be wearing this.
You wear tennis sneakers, but you don't buy them.
No, I haven't purchased any.
I like that.
So I wear her own shoes now.
You're missing it, Aaron. You got to... I can all depend on CSC. CSC said, once she purchases shoes and she doesn't want any more, he takes them over. So, yeah. I you know...
That's how it is. I ain't buying it.
That's what you do. I like that. I like that. Okay. What about you? Clarks or tennis?
It depends.
You got to choose one.
For what function? I mean, what are you wearing? Where are you wearing it?
Out.
It depends, huh?
Saturday night.
Saturday night, wouldn't Saturday wear Clarks. I wear a pair of tennis.
There you go. It says tennis for him.
See, it's interesting. This is why I like this game.
I wear shoes. I like I said, I don't have no tennis.
I like this game. There's a trend that Bahamian women were critiquing 6-7 years ago. There's a whole bunch of pictures of young Bahamians going out on a date, going out on dates, going out socializing. And the women were dressed to the nines.
Yes.
And the men wearing khakis, boat shoes, and a polo, preferably with stripes, because that's fancy, casual wear. And they were pointing out the discrepancy, the disparity, the difference between the styles of high casual, low formal for the women.
That Bahamian man makes no effort to dress up.
Right.
For a woman.
But they hang up the shirt in the closet for a couple hours before they put it on.
Mm. Oh, but you get starch. You know, the men get a starch up. Yeah, you get a starch up.
Do you starch iron your polos?
Definitely.
That's an old school boy.
That's old school boy.
I stopped using the iron. That's my contribution.
I have an iron in a bit, for true. That's a different generation. I mean, but you know, Ian younger than us.
Yeah.
That iron didn't finish.
BC and BPL forced that on.
But he knows that going to school, they had some of the with the cornstarch. I saw CA with the cornstarch pants.
That's way back when.
That's when they had the pleated inside of
them. That's way back when. Yeah.
Sharp like razors.
I got a text here that says, do you realize that linen was the choice of the English elite? Text to you almost caused me throw away all my linen. But first of all, I need linen when I go see my cousin. Look here. Mitchell's could.
I remember when you used to dress up. You used to have a tie on. Now you don't even make an effort, man.
A bow tie.
What happened to your ties?
I used to wear a coat, a sports
jacket. I know, jacket. I mean, nice.
Look here, I used to go to.
Long sleeve and people looking at you and say, look at her.
You remember Plenty for 20?
Yeah.
I used to go there and get a pair of shoes to match every tie.
Yes.
For 20.
Yes.
But look here, we got a call on the line. Texter, thank you for that. But it's cool. Linen is cool. That's why it's important. Not because English people, but I appreciate the contribution. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
So I think I was the texter that you just read to.
Okay, great.
But there's a trend now for tennis with boots.
Yes.
So imagine a linen suit with a nice fresh pair of just white tennis. That's a trend.
I can't see
that. Listen, hold on. Y'all saw the Met Gala? Y'all don't watch the Met? I don't watch the Met Gala.
Exactly.
I only watch the banners the day after. Pass by. They wear all kind of thing. These young people wearing all kind of thing, ma'am. But that's
not just young people. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you check out now, all right, so there's a trend now, dress for your day.
Yeah.
Right? At work.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come to work in blacks, men and women.
Uh-huh.
Blacks, a nice button down shirt.
Uh-huh.
And you can wear and I'm gonna use this brand for the lack of remembering another. Skechers has this where you just push your foot in, almost like a moccasin.
Yeah.
But it's nice, and it's, some of them come in leather. But they're tennis. They're tennis shoes.
See, ma'am, I definitely gonna make sure you get booked. But I want to ask you this, I'm assuming you have a man in your life. What do men wear nowadays to go out on a date?
Well, I'm not in the very young generation, but I do understand that mismatch where you see young ladies, dressed like almost like Tinkerbell,
mm-hmm.
and then they're with a guy with the slouching pants and some tennis shoes, and one person looks like they're going to a sporting event,
mm-hmm.
and then the other person looks like they're going for a nice classy dinner.
You hear that right, Aaron?
Yeah.
So that sounds like a polo shirt, ripped jeans, and Jordan shoes.
Ma'am, please leave your number. Make sure you leave your number with the producer before you hang up. But I just got one more thing to throw out there. When did the trend of not wearing socks with your dress shoes start?
Something wrong with that.
I'm just saying, why you want to get bite up by mosquito on a fancy night out? Why you want to ruin the night but let mosquito bite up your nice fresh ankles?
Well, first of all, I don't like to see a man's ankles. Mm. I don't want to see it.
Mm.
So I would throw a question back to you.
Yes, ma'am.
When did the trend start of needing to show your ankles as a man?
As a man.
See, I don't think it's about the ankles per se, you know. I think that somebody tried to bring gun and pants back.
Mm.
Short pants and low.
Where the pants don't drop below the ankle. And the young people, you know, They want to be different, so they just pick it up and didn't know how to explain all the naked ankles.
Well, you don't wear socks if you're wearing loafers.
That's loafers, though.
You know how expensive loafers... Oh, no, you know how expensive loafers are and you ain't wearing socks?
No, you don't put on socks with loafers.
The ankle socks.
Oh, no.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Leave your number,
ma'am. You're welcome.
Yes, leave your number. You definitely get in the book. See why I like this game? Because we get to delve into things that we think are not important, but actually are very important.
Putting on lotion.
Hold on, next caller, where you going? Call back, next call.
But I don't understand the styles of, again, young men. this straight leg pants that is
ripped
gunning.
Jeans.
I mean, imagine ripped jeans, I cool with it, because I understand it.
Yeah.
But what's up with this straight leg pants? I mean, the pants so tight, you can see what they're thinking.
Okay, I can tell you what, that, they're young people. This, young, City Boys 0, Imperialism 1. This, y'all have been confuddled and confused into this. You notice that you can't run away. You can't run with them tight pants on.
Mm.
I say, City Boys down 1, RBPF up 100.
Is that due to the pants dropping below their waist, or is that due to the pencil leg? Pants?
All of it. Everything. Okay, Everything.
I think Crystal Massive had a song, say, pull your pants up, boy.
Yeah, you can't. Listen, as older people, we have to let young people venture off, right? We just sort of put up an electric fence in case they go too far. If you could stand the shock, you could go further. But I just saying, you can't climb tree. You can't chase after your girl. And I don't mean chase after like stalker. I mean like, you know, she got the bears.
What if bending down?
And she won't drink all. You just can't catch her because your pants falling around your ankles.
So what if they bend down?
Yeah, all of it. It just... That just seems impractical. Forget wild. It just seems impractical, young people. Right? But remember, here's how the thing started. Young men would wear their pants loose. They would wear baggy pants and they wear one pair of shorts, two pair of shorts underneath. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that, right? One is you like to go in the ocean. You like to go in the water and you got an extra pair of shorts. You could take off everything. And then when you are done, you don't have to put those shorts back on because you got a pair of underwear, a second pair of shorts, and a pair of pants. That's a part of it. But another part of it is that young people who like to escape the police would drop a pair of pants. And now you don't fit the description. And that's why they're wearing two and three pairs of pants underneath the jeep. That's why, right? See, because we don't talk. Because we don't talk to each other. We don't know what we're doing or why we're doing it. We just following things that we think are trends. And so that's why, producer, let's take this call very quickly, and then we're going to get ready to round up the show. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
I just wanted to add, the two, three pants is for school. When you get beaten, you can't feel it.
Oh, yeah, I forget that. Padding, padding, padding. Yes, ma'am, I can't forget that. Thank you very, very much. So let me ask you, coat suit or linen suit?
Linen suit. Oh, a man looks sexy in a linen suit.
Never.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something, give the producer your name so you could get a book, you know, maybe give it to someone in the community. But if y'all ever seen Stelit music video for We Raking and We Scraping, Scullin' and We Shaking, and you see all of them fine in agua man them in their linen suit dancing, and you see Big Boy jump in there and do the splits in his linen suit.
That's in the 90s, early 2000s. That's a bygone era. That's decades ago.
Buddy, that's where you left your youth. My youth with me, I bring in that video into the future with me. Me still lead the Bahamas in Agua, we's big thing.
I like it when you dress
big
up.
Big thing, big thing.
Maybe I can get back to that, Mr.
Yes,
Nuri.
I remember you used to dress up. Just, look at that, look at this, look at this.
People
nice.
Get so offended by the tie, man.
Yeah. The mosquitoes don't bite you.
Let's get vexed when wearing tie. But your ties was different. It was nice.
And
it was
match up and everything. Yeah. Anyway, caller, thank you very, very much. Remember, leave your name with the producer, and we will make sure that you get a copy of the book.
Thank you.
No, thank you very much.
They said the mosquito don't bite you to learn.
That's because it's breezy. Linen don't cling to your skin. The mosquito can't hit skin. I'm telling you. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for playing the How Bahamian Are You game show with me. We didn't get to a lot of questions because Mr. Munnings insisted on some sensible talk about family island determination and Bahamian determination and how the political class and we, the Bahamian people, could harness that to drive us forward. And last text, Aaron, as a man, I could never dress formal and not wear socks. I don't know where that look came from. Producer, I wish I had told you to play the song by Ronnie Butler, the part where he say, and you got what? High heel shoes and no socks on. Smell like toe jam. The best of the Bahamas. Thank you for joining me. Stay tuned for the second hour of the Guardian Radio AM on the clock, man down, mashup Wednesdays. It's been a blast. Oh, we're waiting on the producer. I get a little more time to
just
talk.
Take a little time.
Yeah. Ah, he caught up.
He caught up. I forgot to say, there's a concerning situation. Apparently, there's no gas in Acklands. We got to deal with that. That's what the Ministry of Family Island Affairs should be focused on. And you know what I expect to see in the 50th Independence celebrations? Hopefully, the University of the Bahamas and the School of Public and Oral History and the archives can pull together 50 years of migration in, out, and throughout the Bahamas. Anyway, up you mighty people. Have a wonderful day.
We come in troves, coming from this outer the archipelago. We have soul and colorful the soul. But they're mashing up, we good living, we don't live so. Call your neighbor then. Rise we name again. State your claim again. Tell them we go rain again. Because you're powerful, powerful. Inside, outside, wonderful. Magical, beauty can't hide. Me and you, never lose, trust me.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.